Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
How the President Can Fix the Economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Most voters say their number one concern is the economy. The subprime mess is just the tip of the iceberg. Fear is we're sliding into recession. This morning, the Wall Street Journal reports the White House has a plan. Tax rebates for individuals to encourage spending and tax breaks for businesses to encourage investment. The stock market took a dive yesterday, and you can blame much of that drop on AT&T. The company sees the weak economy taking its toll on consumers. AT&T stock lost 5%. There were also rumors that Countrywide Financial is on the verge of bankruptcy. Even though Countrywide denied it, its shares fell nearly 30%. The Dow was down 238 points to 12,589. The S&P lost nearly 26. The Nasdaq gave back about 59 points. Overnight in Asia, the major markets moved higher. Gold mining stocks were among the big winners. Gold traded at a record $891 an ounce this morning in London. But the stock markets across Europe have turned lower. European plane maker Airbus has just clinched a multi-billion dollar deal with a plane leasing company in Ireland. As Megan Williams reports, the sale is giving Boeing an early run for its money in 2008.
It's a strong takeoff for Airbus in the new year. An order of up to 100 jetliners to the Irish AWAS for almost $7 billion. With figures last year showing the European Airbus orders soaring just below the U.S. Boeing's, the pressure to surpass its rival this year is intense. Last year, Boeing took almost 1,400 orders for jets, while Airbus has reported 1,200 as of November. It's expected to announce its final count for 07 next week. Still, both figures outdo the industry high from a few years ago of over 1,000 orders a year. Despite flying high, however, analysts predict this year sales will likely be headed down. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Walmart has often been demonized as a destroyer of the mom-and-pop shop. The conventional wisdom has been when Walmart moves into town, it undercuts prices and hurts local economies. But a new study from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis suggests the criticism might not be fair. And as Bob Moon reports, the world's biggest retailer might even be a business booster.
Walmart's critics have long claimed the retail giant lays waste to local businesses, jobs, and wages. A small business owner complained about the Walmart effect in an activist group's movie called The High Cost of Low Price.
I've seen a lot of small communities crucified.
But the Minneapolis Fed compared counties in its region with Walmart stores to similar-sized non-Walmart counties, and it found business growth, employment, and total earnings were actually somewhat stronger in the Walmart counties. The report concludes Walmart is no different from any new business coming to town and competing with existing businesses. Economist Terry Fitzgerald wrote the report. He's quick to say his study looked only at economic benchmarks in the local communities. It did not, for example, pass judgment on the retailers' labor practices or corporate citizenship.
We're only looking at the impact it seems to have on local communities, and that impact seems to be pretty small.
And considerably smaller, he says, than Walmart's reputation might suggest. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The Fed also released minutes yesterday from last month's meeting on interest rates. Apparently, there was a lot of disagreement about our economic future. Three members of the committee favored making a more generous cut in rates, but two others didn't want to cut at all. Now, the Fed next meets at the end of this month. The market thinks we'll see another quarter-point rate cut.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Yesterday, the Federal Trade Commission began public hearings on guidelines for environmental advertising. They haven't been updated since 1998. Now, since then, more companies have been marketing themselves as green. This has the FTC concerned about deception. Marketplace keeps an eye on greenwashing through a team of online critics called the Marketplace Greenwash Brigade. Our sustainability reporter, Sarah Gartner, caught up with a couple of them.
You know we're in trouble when the experts are confused, too.
I am a very educated consumer, and I struggle with these choices on a day-to-day basis.
That's Jana Flissrand, a green housing advocate. She's on our Greenwash Brigade, looking out for eco-deception and fraud. Flissrand says right now there's a rush of products claiming to be green. She'd like the FTC to come up with something like a good housekeeping seal of approval.
And I like the idea of a score, where the lower the score is, the less environmental damage there is created.
Flissrand suggests the scores might cover everything from greenhouse gas emissions to toxicity to labor standards.
But something simple that's quite comprehensive and that consumers can understand is key.
The FTC will specifically tackle carbon offsets. That's where consumers pay others to reduce greenhouse gases if they can't themselves. But some offsets have turned out to be scientifically suspect or even outright frauds. And the offsets often occur in remote places where consumers can't verify them. Greenwash Brigade member Heidi Siegelbaum says offsets are dangerous territory for eco-neophytes.
Unless they do a tremendous amount of studious research, it's very difficult to understand what it is exactly that you're buying. And of course, there's also the additional allure of offsetting guilt.
The FTC has its work cut out for it. Even our Greenwash Brigaders don't agree on whether the agency should craft a working definition of sustainable. Flissrand says yes. Siegelbaum says no. Siegelbaum says sustainability means different things in different contexts, and so it's different for every industry, including the news business. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, I'm Sarah Gartner.
And you can check out our Greenwash Brigaders and some of their favorite green monitoring websites. Go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.